So essentially, you're buying it at 20 bucks out at the outlet mall, but you can sell it to someone on Amazon for $55 because they don't have that product near them. They can't find it. Or my very favorite, and the reason I mention outlet malls is a lot of times discontinued goods go into outlet malls. Things that the packaging is changing go to outlet malls. People still want those products.
Financial independence,
freedom,
financial picture,
independent financially,
financial future,
financial freedom and wealth,
financial independence,
get your fill, financial independence and long life. Hello and welcome to another episode of Get Your Fill, Financial Independence and Long Life, where we explore ways to achieve those two goals. And guess who's coming on to help us today? Leslie Hensel. If you've been wondering about being an Amazon seller and hearing all these silly pop-ups that come on when you're trying to listen to other stuff on YouTube, you're going to really want to listen in, because Leslie Hensel, she is the co-founder of Riverbend Consulting, whose 85 plus employees solve problems for e-commerce sellers. Leslie oversees Riverbend's service team, and she has personally helped hundreds of sellers get suspended Amazon accounts and ASINs up and running. She has been an Amazon seller for more than a decade, which is awesome. So Leslie, thanks so much for being with us today.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
I'm excited that you're here. I have to start off by telling you a crazy backstory of mine, and then we're going to totally get into all of your things, but maybe this will lead you to tell us a crazy story of your own. When I was way, way back, actually even more than 10 years ago, I got this crazy idea that I wanted to be an importer because I love traveling and I love shopping. And I thought, oh, what better way, right, to bring those two things together? So I started with a whole bunch of products, but in the end, what turned out to be selling the best were belly dancing hip scarves. And so, you know, I was bringing them like door to door, and somehow my mom was on, I don't know how she did it. She found this thing that Amazon was allowing people to sell their own products. It was when they just got started with that. And I was like, oh, wow. So I was the very first belly dance hip scarf seller on Amazon. It was a fun, crazy ride. I no longer do that, but that was my whole Amazon selling experience. And it was great. You know, they were super to work with at that time.
That is just a fantastic story. And there are so many people who sell on Amazon who have similar stories where they just kind of fell into it. Like some friend told them, hey, I know a guy, and yeah, he sold this or that. Or people who have struggled for years because they wanted to sell their product into like a Walmart or something, and that is so hard. Yeah. And so then someone told them, put it on Amazon, and they're successful. So yeah, there are lots of fun stories along those lines. But belly dancing hip scarves, that's pretty exotic right there, Christine.
And the big highlight for me was when I was searching for them or something. I don't even know why I was doing it. But anyway, it was a sponsored Google ad with my hip scarves. I was like, oh, what? You know, I really felt like I had arrived at that point.
You know, there is something really cool about when your product is in the box at someone's front door too, because, you know, all of us, I shouldn't say all of us, but I think just about everyone who's listening has ordered something on Amazon. Absolutely. And so we're all consumers of Amazon, and to become a producer of Amazon where your products are actually landing on someone's front porch, that's really exciting. It's just like this, doing a podcast, because I listened to the podcast for years, and then it's really exciting to actually be on a podcast. It's kind of that same yin yang.
Yeah. It's like, I forget which movie it is of Steve Martin's where he's like, the new phone book's here. The new phone book's here. I'm somebody.
Oh, that's so funny. But you're absolutely right though. And it's just like when your products go live on Amazon and you can look and you can see, oh, there's only 10 left, because you know, sometimes it'll say 7 available or whatever that is. It's a rush. It's a rush. Yeah. Oh, and you talked about you love shopping. Right?
That's right.
So there are a lot of sellers that I know, because I know a lot of sellers. I've been selling since 2010. And then my consulting firm has worked with thousands of sellers of all different types. And a lot of them actually started on Amazon because they love the thrill of the hunt, like that treasure hunting thing. And I'm sure y'all, everyone has seen like the Storage Wars type shows where people eBay stuff, right? Or they go to yard sales and they find stuff they can put on eBay. And there is that same kind of rush for finding a great product on Amazon, whether you're flipping and reselling things you find in a store or developing your own products and putting them up there. There really is. And what's awesome about it is you're creating income from it instead of just having more stuff in your house you probably don't need.
That is for sure. You get the fun of the shopping and then you get the fun of the selling so that you can have the money to do it all over again. It's awesome.
Absolutely.
So, Leslie, that was so early for you to get involved with Amazon. How did you first learn about it?
So my Amazon journey is like a lot of women that you meet on Amazon who they started doing it out of family necessity. I am one of those people. I am an old school business consultant, and that was what I was doing for many years, doing consulting on business issues and marketing. I did a lot of freelance writing, but I was like full-time working from home, contract work, a very busy person. And then my older kiddo was diagnosed with being on the autism spectrum and a whole bunch of learning disabilities. And he was just struggling in school and suffering. I mean, he would try, nothing worked. It was awful. So my husband and I decided we're going to homeschool this kid and we're going to do lots of therapy, you know, like the OT and the PT and everything else that ends in a T. And honestly, for 3 years, we did 80% therapy, 20% school, because he's one of those autistic kiddos who's like really bright, but just struggles with all the skills issues. So we decided to do this, and then we're like, okay, so how are we going to afford all the therapies if mom isn't creating income anymore? This is a challenge. So I heard about selling on Amazon, and it was such a fantastic solution for us. My husband would go to work during the day. I'm home with the two kids doing the homeschooling thing. I had a younger one at home too. And then he comes home and at night and on the weekends, I'm sourcing products. And then usually on Sunday, we would have family pack and ship time. So we were shipping everything to the Amazon warehouse, which we still do in our family business. And they pick, pack, and ship the orders to customers. So it's very efficient for small business people. So on Sunday, we would, as a family, sticker all the inventory, put it in the right boxes, sort it all, get it ready to ship, and get it in the back of the car so we could take it to UPS on Monday. It was such a great tool, though, because both my boys understand how to work. It was their first real job, and it was a real job. It was, okay, Austin, you need to go finish this by this time. And it all has to be done correctly. And it's been a great journey for us.
And it's great too. You've got that sort of on-site talent to help you to do all the physical tasks, right?
I always say my two boys do the heavy lifting. And it's true because there have been seasons where we were moving a lot of heavy products. And now they are young men, they're 22 and 16. And they are very large young men, especially my younger one.
So much
He's
the better.
a football lineman, he's a big dude. So he can just sling the boxes and it's fantastic to have all that hard work. Absolutely. They can pretty much run about 90% of the business now.
That's fantastic, right? I mean, it's so parents want to give their children a legacy, right? We want to leave them money. We want life to be easy for them. But actually, that usually doesn't turn out to be that good for the actual child. Right? This work ethic and understanding how to do things for yourself, that's so empowering. And it seems to be, you know, if you read the research, that that actually grows happier, more well, you know, more grateful, more well-developed and well-adjusted humans. So great. And you know, you didn't even necessarily do it for that reason, but it just turned out so good.
Yeah, I think that is so true. And also, they understood from the beginning, this is money to help with our family expenses. After our 3 years of homeschooling, that kiddo went to special needs school for 3 years, which all y'all know that is like big dollar signs. And then 3 years at a college prep academy, which was much less expensive, but we were still paying tuition. And then my younger one goes to private school as well. Now the older one's in college. We have always used the Amazon business. So after I wasn't doing it as my full-time gig and I started consulting with Amazon sellers, it's been our side gig as a family. It is to pay tuition. And everyone in the family knows that. They feel a lot of pride that they help earn that money that pays for tuition. And they like the schools they've gone to. They know that it benefits them. So it's really been super useful. I have a lot of sellers ask me, oh, are your boys going to sell on Amazon? Is that what they want to do? Actually, neither one of them has any interest in that at all. But I have already seen the work ethic that they learned. I know the work ethic that they learned from the business in their own chosen professions. I tell my older one, if you want to be successful at your job, you show up early, you finish the work that you're asked to do, you ask for more work when you're idle, and you stay off your phone. And if you do those four things, you are ahead of 80% of the people there. And that is what we made them do at home. Yeah. They had to focus until they finished, stay off your phone, stay off devices, ask for more and make sure that we're done. And seeing those skills translate to a kid who at one point we were told might not live on his own. And now he's in a university living on his own and working in a great job. And to see those skills translate is fantastic. So I really think seeing your parents actually work, you learn where money comes from. Yeah. That is the legacy, is understanding hard work makes money. Instead of it just like falls out of the trees after dad disappears for a few hours and comes back, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's to teach a person to fish, you know, really, because that's what you're doing. You can give kids fish all day, but, you know, at some point they got to get the reel themselves and figure out what where they actually come from, right? Oh, fish don't come from the grocery store, right? So I know a question that I'm sure a lot of people ask you is, how did you choose these products? Like, how did you know that what you were bringing in was going to be successful and was going to be something people wanted to buy on Amazon?
So finding the right products is the most challenging part of selling. And there are some formulas out there, and there are some great cheat sheets you can find on the internet, actually, that will help you. So if you look on Amazon, and you can see this on your phone, on the mobile app, or on the desktop app, for every product, it has a bestseller rank. So it will tell you this product is 10,000 in beauty, or it's 20,000 in housewares. That bestseller rank tells you how much demand there is for that product. And then the cheat sheets you look for are these cheat sheets that say how many units sell on Amazon per product rank. And so it'll tell you, you know, if it's ranked in the top 100,000, it's selling 5 units a day. And it all depends on the category, because automotive is different from clothing, is different from other things. Right. So that helps you, number one. Number two, you have to look at the price. So if you are sourcing a product that is costing you $10, you need to make sure it's selling for enough on Amazon that you're going to make all your money back and make a profit, right? And while that seems simple, there's dynamic pricing on Amazon. So one thing to pay attention to, how many other sellers are there? Are there two or are there 102? If there are 102, I stay away because that means there's demand for the product. But it also means there's so much competition that those other sellers might drop their prices and you end up not really making money. So gauging that demand with the bestseller rank and then making sure there's not so much competition that you can't make anything are two of the really big factors, whether you are sourcing wholesale or developing your own product and comparing to similar products. Or if you are doing the good old retail arbitrage, online arbitrage flipping that most people do to get started.
And explain that for people who aren't familiar with retail arbitrage.
Sure. So retail arbitrage and online arbitrage simply means you're finding products like at a Walmart, at a Target, a discount store, at an outlet mall, and you are finding a spread on the price so that you're making enough money to make it sense to make sense to flip that product on Amazon. So essentially you're buying it at 20 bucks out at the outlet mall, but you can sell it to someone on Amazon for $55 because they don't have that product near them. They can't find it. Or my very favorite, and the reason I mention outlet malls, is a lot of times discontinued goods go into outlet malls. Things that the packaging is changing go to outlet malls. People still want those products. I mean, everyone hates it. At least I do. When something I really love, the company stops making it. And you're like, I love that. Bring it back. So if you can find those things like at an outlet mall, especially outlet malls that have the true discounting stores, not just the ones where it's all, you know, all the same prices.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can flip products from outlet malls like crazy, and you're actually buying directly from the brand, right? You're buying from the factory store. So your invoices are golden. You can prove everything's authentic, and you can flip that stuff like crazy. People will pay. The most classic example of retail arbitrage that we have all seen is like at Christmas, the hot toy. So there's a hot toy, and each Walmart only has so many units of it. And then it sells out. You can't find it, can't get it for love or money. You go on Amazon, you find it, the prices are high. Well, there are a lot of people like me
who
that's how they're making their money. I've never flipped toys because I actually find it really stressful. Because I've sold toys, but not that Christmas flipping the hot toy, because I find that particularly stressful. But I know a lot of people who make a fortune doing it at Christmas. So they'll go to every Walmart within, you know, 100 miles, and they'll buy the two or three really hot items that they know are just killing it on Amazon. And they will list all those and sell them so fast, you just wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, and Merrill stopped making my favorite sandals. And the first year, and they're like the ones that are so comfortable and they look good. And so the first year I was like, oh, this really is crappy. I should have bought more, you know, if I'd known, if they would have told me. But then I found them on Amazon. I was like, oh, yay. And I stupidly didn't buy the entire stock of my size, which I should have. So this year I finally found someone else who has these same sandals, which they stopped making, like, I don't know, like 7 years ago now. But yeah, it's so great. I just love it. I mean, so yeah, okay, I'm paying a little more, but I really appreciate that person saving it for me for 7 years so that I can have a pair. But yeah, exactly. And that's, there are whole, even before Amazon, there are whole industries, like, for example, a computer company goes out of business and they are, right, we're not making these printers anymore, but thousands of people have those printers. So there are whole companies that just sell components. And I imagine there are some of those things are being sold on Amazon.
You're absolutely right. And you can find manufacturers in your area who need to get rid of product where they've either overstocked it or they have new packaging. So a lot of times they have a new version of something, new and improved. They think it's better. People don't want it. You know, remember New Coke? I mean, people want the old one. They don't want the New Coke version. And I know people who that's what they do. They will go buy stuff directly from the factory. So again, it's obviously authentic product. You're never going to have an inauthentic issue or complaints about it because you're buying out all that old stock. And then you're eventually in a short amount of time, you're the only one who's got it. And you've got it for a couple months that you're selling it on Amazon. I love your Merrill story because I'm a hiker. I'm a distance hiker. And when I started doing true distance hiking, I went through 4 different pairs of boots before I found one that didn't eat my feet at 12 miles. Yeah. And it was like every time I'd get to 12 miles and then I'd be just a bloody mess, like really bad. And then I found this pair of Salomons. And at the top of my closet, there are 4 pairs of those Salomons in boxes because they stopped making it. And when I found out, I bought 4 pairs. And they are sitting up there. So every year I'm like into my new pair. So I've got them for a while. So there are crazy people like me who can fund Amazon businesses because we're like, I got to have that shoe. Got to have it.
Yeah. And we appreciate that somebody knew they were going out of, you know, style and that they were going to be. So total sidebar. But you know what has helped me in that regard is if I put Vaseline on my feet before I hike.
Yeah, I've done that and the lanolin. With the Solomons, I never have an issue ever.
Awesome.
But I had some great Keens that ate my feet. I mean, it was so bizarre that it was right at 12 miles every single time. I don't know what the magic is about that number. But I've done distance hiking with both of my boys where we've done, 20, 24 miles a day, and you've got to have the right boots. So I will pay through the nose for the right boots.
Absolutely. That is a long hike.
It's a long day.
That's a long day. So, Leslie, tell us about the book. So, if I'm thinking of about being an Amazon reseller or being an Amazon whatever, selling something I myself have made, how does the book going to talk me through that process of setting it up, or what's the focus of the book?
So my new book is called The Amazon Incubator, Grow Your Business or Hatch a New One. And it is a blueprint for how to sell on Amazon. And at the very beginning of the show, you mentioned pop-up ads on YouTube. And so it's all of these get rich quick. You're going to be a millionaire in like 2 weeks, and it's only going to cost you $10,000 that you pay this coach or this system or whatever, but
Right,
you're only going to
exactly.
work like 3 hours every other month and you're going to do it from the beach or the moon. I mean, the
Right.
promises are insane. So there are some really good coaches out there for selling on Amazon, but there's also a lot of scams. And like anything else, I mean, Amazon is a business and it's time consuming. So you want to make sure that it's really for you. And I don't want to find out if something's for me by paying $5,000. Don't know about you, but that's yeah. So this is a $25 investment, and it walks you through the basics from how to set up your business the right way to how to find products, how to hire virtual assistants so that you can work fewer hours. I can't get you down to 5 hours a week, but I can have you work fewer hours. Writing standard operating procedures. I mean, everything you need to scale from nothing to doing a lot of revenue on Amazon. But I want to caution, this book isn't just for people who want to be like a full-time seller. I'm a huge believer in side hustles and multiple streams of income. And
Absolutely.
since, your podcast is focusing on freedom, and to me, part of the way you get freedom is to have multiple streams of income and
Absolutely.
to create that kind of revenue security for yourself and your family. It's a wonderful thing. Amazon is truly a freedom-based business. You can work whatever hours you want. You have to work. I'm not going to lie and tell you it's not work, but it is truly at your leisure. Want to work early in the morning, late at night, on the weekend, whenever you want. It's great.
Yep.
So in these times right now, I talk to so many people who are really struggling because of food prices being up, their rent is up, they're worried about the future economically. A side hustle can really put a lot of that to rest. You can work very part-time and net out $1,000 to $3,000 a month on Amazon without trying that hard. Now, if you want to make a whole lot more, you can make more. I know so many multimillionaires who work on Amazon, but if you just want to have an extra stream of income to make your life less stressful and more enjoyable, $2,000, $3,000 a month, it is pretty easy breezy. As once you learn the ideas. So this book is great for people who are really interested in that side hustle and figuring out how they can just create some extra income. Short chapters, easy to read, questions at the end of each chapter that if you answer all the questions in the book, you have a business plan written.
That's amazing. Have you written other books? Because you said this book made it sound like this is like one of a series. Have you written others?
I have, but they were all for other people. Back in my prior life, I was a ghostwriter and I wrote books for other humans. And so
Oh,
I'm so excited that this is actually my book with my name on it, published by a real publisher, distributed by Simon and Schuster. So I can't tell y'all, it's like a dream when
wow.
you've done it for other people and you're ghostwriters, you're not even in the acknowledgments, right? Because they don't want anyone to know.
That's
So to
exactly. We
actually
don't want
have
you to know
my
someone
book is
else actually
exciting.
wrote this whole thing.
That's right. So this one, I wrote every word and it's all mine. And based on someone who used Amazon to solve problems. I didn't use Amazon to, lay on the beach all day and be a multi-bajillionaire. I used it to pay for my kids' therapy and their school and to help our family and to go on some cool vacations and to put money in retirement. It's very non-sexy. Not the guys showing you the Lamborghinis with the girls draped across them that you see on YouTube. That's not my gig. So if what you're looking for is a little bit of that, get rich slow, this book might be for you.
Yeah, well, like you say, I mean, it's a super side hustle. Nobody cares what time of the day or night you're putting things in boxes to send to them or to send to Amazon. So let's talk actually a little bit about that, about the idea of Amazon warehousing your products and stuff. Because I think people imagine they've got their whole garage full of some kind of, doll that eats and sleeps and wets or whatever the latest thing is.
And you can do that if you want to. So there are people who choose to fulfill their own orders. So your orders come in on Amazon, just like on eBay. Lots of people have done eBay, and it tells you ship by this date. And so you pack it up and you print out your shipping label and you make sure you get it to UPS or the post office on time. The problem with that is you're tethered to wherever your warehouse is, whether it's your garage, your basement, your spare room, or it's a, some warehouse down the street where you're keeping your stuff or a storage space, you've really got to be available to fulfill orders every single day. And that's what makes it really difficult as a side hustle if you're fulfilling your own orders. So Amazon has a system called Fulfillment by Amazon. You pack up larger boxes. So you're packing big boxes that you've gone and gotten from Home Depot, because that's the best place to buy them. They have the best rates, and you can get them for like a buck and a quarter, buck and a half. And you're shipping these larger boxes full of all of your inventory to the Amazon warehouses. So then when an order comes in, you can see it in your Seller Central, which is the interface used to manage your account. You can see the orders, but you don't have to sit there and stare at it and wait for them to come in because Amazon packs up those orders for you and ships them out. And the magic is, that Prime shipping promise, which is why we're all Prime members. Amazon fulfills that Prime shipping promise with your products. So when you sell products out of your house, you can't often meet that promise. So people are less likely to buy your goods because you can't get amazing shipping rates that are negotiated down to nothing and get products to people in 2 days. But Amazon certainly can. So, your product can show up on their door. Last night I ordered something at, well, yesterday afternoon at 3, and it was at my house at 8. I
Isn't that
can't
amazing?
do that for you with my products if I'm
Unless you live next
shipping,
door.
right? But Amazon can. So there are fees associated with warehousing your goods there and having them pick, pack, and ship. However, for most small businesses, if you add up the storage you would pay if you had enough goods at that you had to have a storage space, which you can pretty quickly, the money that you would pay someone or yourself to pick, pack, and ship the orders, the amount for the actual shipping labels, and then the opportunity cost of lost sales. Because some people will not buy products unless they are available Prime. You're really awash. The fees that you're paying them are what you would have to invest in your own business to provide that same level of service. So it is a lot of money, not gonna lie. I mean, Amazon fees will add up to 30, 35% of the product cost, maybe a little bit more. Not the product cost, I'm sorry, the price that the buyer pays. So you have to think of it as a third, a third, and a third. Your goal is that a third of the money goes to Amazon, a third of it is to source your product, and a third of it is left for you.
Exactly. And that's just part of your, that's just part of what you have to figure out when you're figuring out how much you want your things to cost, right? When you're doing that analysis. But even retail, I did one of my other hats, I had a retail store. And that was what I did. If I saw something and I couldn't triple the price, I wouldn't sell it,
Totally agreed. And the calculus does change based on the type of sourcing, the type of product. There are people who sell private label goods where they've developed their own product. I know that sounds really daunting. This is kind of like your belly dance scarves, right? Where it's your own product. So you go to a manufacturer, they make them for you. You have to ship them usually from overseas. That sounds like it's impossible. It is not. And everyone can learn how to do this. It just takes time. And it's good to learn Amazon the easier way, where you're selling someone else's product, and then you jump into the world of private label. But with those products, you can usually get away with a lower margin. So I know a lot of private label sellers who do good volumes, and they're only looking for 20% or less, even if they do great volume. But for smaller sellers, people just getting into it, you got to make it worth your while. So you really need to try and find things that you're making 20% or more. But I love the rule of thirds. That's always going to be my favorite. Shoot for that third, a third, a third.
Yep, exactly. Because you want that third of profit.
Yes.
That's why you're doing it.
Yes. I mean, we all work too hard to not make some money. And that's why it's important to track your time as well. This is something I go into a lot in the book. If you're willing to invest in a business like this, you're actually investing time as well as money. So you can actually start an Amazon business with $500. That is true. That's one of the come-ons out there in those videos. You really can start with very little if you start by going to outlet malls, or my very favorite strategy, I call it hometown hero. There are people who live where you are, who have retail stores that have products that are not being sold online that they develop themselves, or small manufacturers in your community. These people would love to have another sales channel. And right now they're going through wholesale or distributors or direct to retail, or they sell business and industrial products. There are so many business and industrial products on Amazon. You can totally do that. So you go to these businesses and say, hey, I want your best wholesale rate, and I want the right to send you returns. So in other words, if the product doesn't sell well, I want to be able to sell it back to you, because we're both taking a risk here. And then you essentially sell their products on Amazon. And I say you're a hometown hero, because once you do well with one company, everybody talks. Chamber of Commerce, whatever the hotspot is, they all tell each other, hey, this lady over there, this guy over there, they sold a whole bunch of my product online on Amazon. It's amazing. So there's so many different ways you can attack it and really make a decent amount of side income. It's an exciting opportunity. I know it sounds pie in the sky and daunting, but it's very doable. I'm a very average person, and I have sold hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of products on Amazon. So, you know, I just like to deal and hope for people that if you are looking for something, this could be the thing for you.
Excellent. Lovely. So this is all amazing, but like, what kind of things can go wrong?
So that's an excellent question, because any business is a risk. You can always have something go wrong. So the most common thing that happens is that you buy products that don't sell. So you end up stuck with inventory, or other sellers jump on that same product listing and they mark down the prices, and you end up having to fire sale it. Now, I've had the fire sale thing happen to me. Most of the time, I don't actually lose money. I just manage to break even. So I'll mark it down and break even, and, you know, I'm good. If you have a product that isn't selling, sometimes you can move it on eBay. You can move it at a garage sale, a swap meet. None of that is fun. I have had to donate products before. That is also not fun. But as you find your niche and you find the places that you source great products, it gets better. You have lower risk. You have fewer failures over time. You're still going to have some, but they won't be as many. And then the other thing that can go wrong is my day job now, which is Amazon is a giant bureaucracy, and they're kind of hard to deal with. They're kind of like hanging out in the Social Security office or the DMV sometimes. And sometimes they will enforce against a seller's account. Usually this means they take down an ASIN, which is a product. They take down one of your products because there were complaints about it from buyers. or other, you know, product quality challenges. You can get in trouble if you're shipping your own goods, you don't ship them on time. All of these can make your products or your account get suspended. All is not lost. You can appeal these things. You tell them how you're going to fix it. You improve the product quality. You fix your shipping processes. Most of the time, it's not a deal breaker. There are times that people's businesses end because of this, because they cannot convince Amazon otherwise, or because, you know, they've broken some serious rules. Not everyone in this business is honest, and some people make terrible mistakes that are business ending, but that's rare. Most sellers, occasionally you have a product taken down, you provide documentation like invoices, and you're all good. And then if you really get stuck, you come to my company and we help you fix it.
Awesome. So, Leslie, what's the, well, first of all, let me ask you, well, no, first I'll ask you, what's the best way for people to buy the book and to get in touch with you?
So the easiest way to buy it is just to go to Amazon. It's the Amazon Incubator, but I've also got a website that's theamazonincubator.com. It has links to all of the online bookstores where you can buy the book if you don't want to buy it on Amazon, but it's also got some freebies. So if you buy the book, you come back, put in your order number, you can download a three-part video series, and I've got a companion workbook. So, you know, I want to give you some extra reasons to want to buy. So that is the easiest way to buy the book.
Excellent. And I think, you know, if you even thought in any corner of your mind that you want to do something like that, then definitely start with the book, right? Like you said, it's a low investment and you're going to get a really great blueprint for how to get started. So now, Leslie, the other question that I want to ask you is, what do you wish I would have asked you that we haven't touched on?
Oh gosh, what a great question. You know what? Okay, I've had so many professions, y'all. My first job out of college, I was a reporter. I always ask that question at the end of an interview. And sometimes people would like practically tell you all their deep, dark secrets. Golly, you're such a good interviewer. You
Oh,
know what?
thank you.
You've covered all the things I would have asked. Can you actually really make money because Amazon is saturated? It's been around a while. I've heard that people are going out of business. That's a possible question to ask. And
Okay.
my answer would be there have been some really high profile failures of some very large, they're called aggregators. These are companies that bought up a bunch of private label brands and then they failed and gone out of business. And so, because of that, a lot of folks who are like me have gotten turned off of selling on Amazon because they've translated that into if the big businesses failed, how could I do it? And I just need to tell y'all, there's one reason a lot of them failed, which is interest rates went up and they were highly leveraged.
Right.
So they had hundreds of millions of dollars in debt, and their interest rate on that debt went from what, 3% to 7%, and they couldn't pay it. And that's not the only reason they failed. If they'd had a super healthy, wonderful, thriving business, maybe they could have made it. But who can double their debt service like that and be like, woo, we're cool. So just if you've heard those stories, don't let that make you think there's no opportunity. I still believe Amazon is the greatest business incubator in the history of mankind.
Yeah. And from my belly dancing experience, not that I ever was a belly dancer, but my belly dancing hip scarf experience, I would definitely agree with you. It was super for me. Super and fun.
I love that you sold those and you weren't a belly dancer. I love this.
Yeah, that's a whole podcast in itself is how that all came to pass, but we won't bore everybody with that story.
Oh, it sounds like it'd be a fun one. You got to do that someday, Christine.
All right, tune in next week for my belly dancing hip scarf story. Awesome. Leslie, thanks so much. I love the whole story of how you have been able to just bring so much value to your family and to whoever bought your good, cool stuff, right? And still had fun and was able to create. You knew what you needed, right? I need a job that is going to allow me to do XYZ. And, you know, and then it just dropped in. Oh, here it is. So hopefully whoever's listening, this is just dropping into them like, you know what? I can do this thing. I could sell Chris and her next pair of Merrell sandals.
Absolutely, you can. And yeah, the flexibility I think works with what we all want right now, that we've all learned about the last few years, which is the job isn't everything. Having flexibility and time with family is super important.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, well done to you. Kudos to you for, you know, putting your family first and not working for the almighty dollar and, you know, making this all work out so beautifully.
Thank
And
you.
thank
I've
you.
had a great fun and great fun talking to you.
You too. You too. It's been super. I knew when I saw you from Texas, I knew we were going to have a great conversation. Well, and thank you, listener, for listening. If you're not the entrepreneurial type, if you're not thinking that you would like to get started and put something kind of interesting and cool on Amazon, then forward this episode to three of your friends who are entrepreneurial and cool and who want to do something a little bit out of the box and make this thing a really fun side hustle, or maybe even, you know, their next big income stream. And in the meantime, have a fantastic week.